Today on VFN TV, we're going to hear the continued interviews with John Newland, these amazing stories. I'm telling you, ups and downs, they're so encouraging. They're challenging, but they're amazing. He says ordinary, I don't know. Just check it out.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So John, I was thinking about the story that you told and about your life, obviously. If you don't forget, The Ordinary, you got to get this book. It's The Ordinary, An Ordinary Man's Experience with God. You can see his website on our screen right there. Go there and get your copy of the book. But you're talking about something that so many men can relate to, because men are fixers. We want to fix it. We'll go work hard to make something happen. But there's time, you know, just like everybody else, we have to humble ourselves and be a receiver. I mean, you got to be a receiver to get saved. You got to receive what God's done for you. You know, quite often that could be a man's difficulty, where he doesn't understand that God wants to give him something. And so you had a situation as a father, as a husband, and, you know, a new believer, you know, in regards to having a need. I mean, you hear you had a family, you're in Tennessee, it's like what, 20 degrees or something, and your gas goes out. Tell us about that, because a lot of people are in that situation right now, and they don't know, maybe God will intervene. Talk about that story, if you would.
Well, Greg, I was working, mm-hmm. and I just wasn't making ends meet. And like you said, it was cold, and my gas went out, and that's how we heated our home. Mm-hmm. And I was a proud man. I had one son, Jonathan, my wife, Debbie, and I had learned to tithe. To me, learning about the tithe is like a revelation. Mm-hmm. It's not something the pastor tells you to do. It's mm-hmm. something God tells you to do.
Right.
He says to test me. It's the only place in the Bible I can see just like that. And he said, if you will give of that, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain.
Right.
And so I was believing for that.
So those that don't understand what a tithe is, what is a tithe?
Okay. A tithe is basically 10% mm-hmm. of whatever you receive as income.
Okay, got it.
And mm-hmm. so I caught that as a revelation, as a promise. I mm-hmm. personally believe that all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus,
yes,
if you'll receive them. And I believe they're written to you mm-hmm. and to me, mm-hmm. if you'll receive them, all the promises. Some people don't understand that. It's like a hidden treasure that's there.
Right.
And so I was believing mm-hmm. with the tithe that was the right thing to do. I was being obedient. Mm-hmm. But here I was caught with no heat in my home.
Right.
And it was a Sunday morning, and I needed $200 to turn the heat back on, but I didn't have it.
Right.
And I never really asked my parents for any money. And I definitely not my in-laws.
I gotta say this. You're a very hard worker,
right?
And you were working hard,
right?
But enough money wasn't coming in for your labor,
right,
to pay for that. Because some people are thinking, you know, money's gonna come out of nowhere,
right?
But you're a working man,
right?
And it just wasn't making the money based on the hour, working the hours,
right?
So it's a different situation versus somebody just waiting for something to happen.
Right.
Okay, I just wanted to say that.
All right, so I was believing mm-hmm. God, mm-hmm. and so I went to him in prayer on that Sunday morning. I said, Father, I'm tithing, mm-hmm. and yet I'm going to ask you somehow for help, and I'm going to believe when I go to church, somehow I'll get help.
Right.
So we went to church, and as God is my witness, when we were sitting in the church, here come a little bald man across the church, and he came up to me and said, Sir, I don't know you, but the Lord told me to give you this $200.
Wow.
So when I received that $200, it did something in my heart. It blessed me.
Yeah.
It wasn't about getting the money, but I also saw that this man was obedient. Mm-hmm. And I decided I didn't want to be the one that was in need. I want to be the one that was giving.
Right.
So it changed my mind about giving. Right. And so I decided, and later made a vow. Be careful about making a vow. The Bible says don't do it if you can't keep it.
Right.
But I said that as any extra income come in over what I was making, that I would take 10% more, not just my tithe,
right,
but 10%, and I would put it into a box or into some way where I could have it for giving. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've done. And I've seen an increase ever since then.
That's powerful, because that means then, so you have that extra 10% beyond your, that you could just give to whatever God says, right?
whatever I give, and I try to listen. I try to look to see if somebody's in need. Yeah. Somebody needs that 200.
Right.
And that's my story.
That's so powerful. I know that some particular teachings are, you know, have, you know, five different jars or five different boxes or whatever, and you have your bills and your responsibilities. But that one extra box is like you're talking about, you know, take 10% above your tithe and stick it in there so that that's money that you know that you can give. Because quite often the enemy is messing with you going like, but you gotta, but if you already set it aside to give,
right,
you can just respond instantly in that, you know, and that's just some of the things. It feels good to give.
I mean,
it feels good to be, and it feels sad when you're seeing situations like the Bahamas or things that are happening with disaster and you didn't make those arrangements ahead of time and maybe you can't give. That's just great wisdom. I love that. Well, you also talk about, well, I want to mention the story with me as well. You know, Pastor John Kilpatrick was a pastor of Brownsville Assembly of God, and they had the school that they were buying at that time, and they needed a new roof. And they asked us all to pledge money for it. So by faith, Don and I, my wife, we talked about it. We pledged, I believe it was like $2,000 for it. It was a big deal for a deputy's salary,
right,
you know. And we didn't have, we're going to believe God for it because we had time to do it. And we prayed and asked God, and up to the last moment, it didn't come in because, you know, I'm a man of my word, so we're going to go borrow the money and give it. We'll just pay on the, that's what we have to do. Well, that morning, before I was going to do that, somebody showed up at our door and said that they were praying and God laid it on the heart and gave us the whole, he gave us the $2,000 that we were given for the roof for Brownsville's school building they bought, which would actually house the television network that would actually reach the world with the Brownsville Revival. Right. So we can really, isn't it awesome what God can do? I mean, he'll even give the seed to the sower, you know, if you'll just step out by faith to do that. And it's just, it's awesome. Well, I know you also talked about, you know, about how that a husband needs to treat his wife and to be kind and gentle and all. But also, what about the Lord says that we're to be the priest of our homes, you know? Talk to us about that a little bit.
All right, I believe that. I believe that as a Christian, we are a priest. Mm-hmm. And so in our home, I believe we need to be the priest that serves. We need to serve our family, not lord over our family. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to pray for our family. So each person's got to figure out their own prayer life. Mm-hmm. But once again, in my prayer life, I try to pray the Lord's Prayer every day if I can without making it rote or just repetition, but a little different. Mm-hmm. But when I come to the place where it's thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Right. I asked him for the kingdom to come in me that day, that he'd be on the Lord, he'd be on the center, that he'd be on the throne in my life, and that everything else would revolve around him.
Right.
But then I asked him that he would come in my wife, and then in our marriage that we'd be one, but then in our home. Right. And I believe as a priest of the home, you would pray for your home to set the attitude and the tone within the house.
Right.
And if you'll do that, it says you would submit one to another, but your wife will see that it's all about giving to her.
Right.
She'll submit to you.
Right.
And so therefore you'll have a peace. I believe I have a peace in my home.
Versus where man may have a tendency just to use force or voice or strength.
Right.
Just allowing God to lead your home by being a minister, ministering
in
your home. You're leading, but you're a servant leader, I guess you would say.
Right.
That's so important. Would that not change America today, the world today? By, you know, men understanding that God has called them to be in that place as a servant leader in their home, to be able to be the preacher of their home.
Right.
It'd be so important. I remember as a deputy, I would go out to different homes and the father was absent, and they would have a deputy come in and be the father figure in that situation. And statistically, if a father is absent, the stats go way up for crisis for that family, for that wife. And so you're very significant as a father and a family right there. Listen, we gotta go to a break. We're gonna be right back and continue this amazing interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people wanna be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
I minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst, that we really could walk away with greater courage.
Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world. But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is first to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m. Or you can join us online at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
There's also a story you talked about when you were coon hunting years ago, and which is pretty interesting. I think about Jerry Clowers when I hear that story, right. His stories. But talk to us about a time you were actually coon hunting with Willie Mack and Marvin, and what was taking place. A pretty interesting story there.
Okay, now there's a couple about coon hunting. I sometimes try to figure out where God in this. Maybe it just shows I'm an ordinary man.
Well, your climbing that tree was pretty amazing.
Well, I did climb the trees to knock out the coon. And this story is called Changing in Attitude or Wear the Damn Sack.
Right.
Forgive me for saying damn.
Right.
But, we started out with a really bad attitude that night.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young Georgia farmer, my best friend. And when Willie Mack and Marvin, two brothers, mm-hmm. and it was really neat. They had a couple of plot dogs, mm-hmm. and Marvin would carry this big giant axe. And actually, I use an axe that has about a 6-pound head, which is a bigger than average axe, because
right.
I chop a lot of wood in my life.
Right.
But this is a double-bladed axe that weighed 10 pounds. He
Whoa.
Was about 6'4", real narrow at the waist,
uh-huh.
and so he carried this axe. And we're going through the woods, though, and it's getting late. We hadn't even struck a right. single coon.
Uh-huh.
And I got off by myself, and the coon dog come over and started treeing a coon.
Uh-huh.
And we looked up there, and we saw the biggest boar coon I think we'd ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And Willie Mack had been saying he wanted to capture a coon
right.
to train his puppies with. So I said, I'll climb that tree. And it was a really big tree, about 100 feet tall.
Whoa.
Had a real rough bark on it. To this day, I don't know exactly I need to go back and look at some things, see what kind of tree.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to climb up there. And when I got up really high, got up close to him, I saw what a big boar coon was.
Uh-huh.
And he started growling at me. And I mm-hmm. thought, what have I done? How am I going to get him out of this tree without
growl?
A bigger stick? Yeah,
oh,
he was
wow.
growling.
Ooh.
So I cut a stick about 6 foot long.
Right.
And we had a little sword fight. And I finally poked him out. I saw him sail down through to the ground, and all of a sudden they were in a big fight, and they were all hollering down there,
right.
and I was way up there, and the flashlight looked like tiny pin lights.
Wow.
And I thought, what am I doing up here? I need to get down.
Right.
So I made a move to go down, and I slipped and fell.
Ooh.
But I had my hands on either side of the tree.
Right.
And it raked the flesh off the inside of my hands.
Wow.
And thank God, I've got a shock mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has something to do with the adrenaline. My hands didn't hurt, but they burnt like fire.
Right.
So I just said, I got to ignore them because I'm that high.
Right.
And I started climbed on down. Got down there. A coon dog has a hard time with that big a coon.
Mm-hmm.
My good Catahoula that fights over in about 60 seconds.
A Catahoula's the name of a dog.
Yeah, that's okay. Another type of dog.
Right.
But these coon dogs, as soon as they got scratched or slightly bit, they turned loose and mostly bark, and then they
right.
would fight. So we're going around that tree, and we had a sack to put the coon in,
mm-hmm.
and old Willie Mack, he's the bravest right. one of their crowd, so to speak. He grabbed the coon by the tail. Mm-hmm. If you get a coon by the tail, he can't get you if you hold him out.
Okay.
But if you put something close by there, and I tried to put him in the sack, I grabbed the sack.
Right.
The coon grabbed the side of the sack. Well, then when he did that, he come around and scratched me.
Oh, wow.
And made another scream growl. I had to turn loose everything.
Right.
So now there's another big fight going around there.
Right.
We go around the tree again. Next news you know, I see the coon's tail.
Uh-huh.
I grab the coon by the tail. 20 pounds, he's heavy. I lift him up and wheel him out. He grabs the sack.
Right.
We put him down in the sack.
Right, right.
Grab the top of the sack and we began to start howling and dancing. I said, like Indians, black and white Indians.
Right.
We were dancing and hollering.
Right.
So Willie Mac goes, boys, look what that coon did in my hand. Because, see, the coon did grab him, but I didn't turn loose of the sack.
Right.
And he had a big, deep scratch.
Oh, wow.
And I had a thought. I said, yeah, look what he did to me. And I hadn't looked at my hands. I turned my hands over, and they were a bloody mess because they had no skin on them.
Wow.
And they all went, oh.
You're right, yeah.
And they got silent for just a second, you know.
Right.
And I said, no, I did that when I fell from the tree, boys. Wow. But the name of the story is Changes in Attitudes or Where the Damn Sack. Because that's what Willie Mac hollered at. Where the
So, right.
So what I mentioned in the story mm-hmm. is sometimes circumstances will change an attitude.
Right.
But I found that if you go towards thanksgiving mm-hmm. toward the Lord, mm-hmm. and if you go towards praise and then towards worship, that can change your attitude from even despondency, discourage, or fear.
Right.
So that's what I want to encourage you to do.
Yeah, being grateful. I mean, he says enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Enter his courts with praise.
Yeah, and so you think that difficult when you're struggling, the thing that's hard for you to think about is something good.
Right.
And once you start thinking about something good, you forget about the something bad. It was amazing how it just kind of changes your perspective.
Right.
We'll be right back after this break with more of the interview from John Newland.
We'll be right back.
With Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
Let's offer a word of advice today specifically for the mothers and fathers of babies. It comes in response to the question, when should discipline of a child actually begin? Well, my answer may surprise you, but I think it should start as soon as possible after birth. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about physical punishment or anything negative. Some parents don't agree and they find themselves swatting a baby for wiggling while being diapered. This is a terrible mistake. Other parents will shake a child violently when they're irritated by his persistent crying. Let me warn parents that shaking an infant can cause serious neurological damage by slamming the brain against the skull. Do not risk any kind of injury with a baby. So what form of discipline is appropriate at that age? The answer is loving leadership. Dr. Bill Sloniger, a Nashville pediatrician and a good friend, said that new mothers will call him on the phone and they'll say, "My six-month-old baby is crying and he seems very hot." The doctor asked if the child has a fever, to which mom replies, "I don't know. He won't let me take his temperature." These mothers have already yielded their authority to their infants, and some will never regain it. Good parenting and loving leadership go hand in hand, and both should begin on day one.
Before Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, there was an earlier defender of the galaxies.
Galileo, a pioneer of the telescope, was a renowned scientist and devout Christian. He spent much of his life defending the idea that the sun was at the center of the universe. However, the church in the early 1600s firmly believed the Bible taught that the earth was the center of the universe.
The Roman Inquisition ruled against his scientific method, and Galileo refused to recant. He believed that science could aid in the study of the Bible. In 1633, at the age of 70, he was put under house arrest until his death 9 years later. Galileo quoted an early Christian theologian contending,
"God is known by nature in his works, and by doctrine in his revealed word."
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting motb.tv. Take part in viewing this historic short film campaign by interacting with the film, the commercials, and the book itself. This fall, experience the book, Together, brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
As I've gone through this maturation in Christ and in my ministry, drawing closer to my Father's legacy, I've come to understand that I have a profound responsibility to carry the next phase of that, but I don't.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, that leads me to, you say, well, how do I do this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you a tip.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a technique.
Okay.
One of my best friends, an older Messianic Jew, and he likes the thing of flow. He doesn't necessarily like techniques.
Right.
But when I studied judo and I studied wrestling,
right.
I learned techniques, and they work every time if you get it right. Mm-hmm. So this is a technique.
Okay.
Please forgive me, but it works every time for me.
Okay.
Okay, it's about coming into the presence of God. We just mentioned it. Mm-hmm. It's about hearing God. I learned it from a fellow named Ernie Gruen back in the 80s. He had a church of about 1,000 in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And he called it pulling a James 1:5. Mm-hmm. All right, so I don't like the word pulling because I'm not sure what that means, but
right.
It means you go to James 1:5. It mm-hmm. says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and he'll give it to him liberally and won't upbraid him.
Right.
But then it goes on to say, don't let that man doubt, because then he's like a wave tossed to and fro, and everything is wishy-washy, so to speak. That's
right.
A paraphrase.
Yeah.
So this technique is to get you where you can hear God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get anything out of me and about this book,
right.
I'm trying to tell you, mm-hmm. you can hear God. Okay, you got to be careful that you're not trying to hear something for your own lust.
Right.
But he says if you lack wisdom, you ask and he'll give it to you. All right, so here's the technique.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is with it, how do you know it's not your own voice or
right.
perhaps the voice of Satan?
Right.
I didn't used to believe in Satan, but I believe he's real.
Right.
He's real.
Right.
Okay, so you don't want to hear him, and you
right.
don't want to hear your own conscience, because you might have had a bad conscience from your significant other speaking into you something that was false.
True.
Maybe it's a teacher.
Right.
Maybe it's a dad that left you or abused you or hurt
right.
you, okay?
Right.
So your conscience may not be perfect. What you've got to do is get the Word of God by the Spirit of God. When they come together with the rhema, that becomes your conscience. That's your
That's
goal.
Good.
You
good.
Ask God to renew your minds so that you're hearing Him
right.
as you come to know Him, right?
Right.
So now, here's the technique. You got to get rid of yourself and you got to get rid of Satan, okay? You come into the presence of God, then you ask, and then you're not going to have any doubt whatsoever.
Right.
Whatever it is, if he says go out on the limb,
right.
you got better go out on the limb
right.
because he honors obedience.
Right.
So here's what I do. Here's what Ernie taught. He did it a little bit longer times.
Mm-hmm.
He'd say you take about, I'm not sure how long, I say 5 to 10 minutes. But I,
right.
okay, last night,
right.
preparing for this,
right.
okay, I did it with 5 minutes and it went a little beyond that.
Right.
So I said on my phone, I set a 5-minute timer.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you begin to thank God
mm-hmm.
because just like Greg said,
mm-hmm.
you enter His gate with thanksgiving. So now you're moving toward the one you want to hear, see? You want to hear, you want wisdom, you're moving toward Him. You enter His gate with thanksgiving. So you begin to thank and you say, thank you, Lord, for this soft, warm bed. I don't
yeah.
know what you're going to say, but whatever
right.
you think of right then. Thank you for my wife.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for my boys.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for my salvation.
Yeah.
Thank you for Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that I finished the book finally.
Yes.
Thank you for this or for
right.
that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For 5 minutes,
right.
ding. Now you say, okay, I'm going to go towards praise.
Right.
You enter His gates. Now you're in the gate. Now you're going to go into His courts a little closer to God. And you begin to praise Him.
Good.
And there's so much to praise Him about,
awesome.
Especially if you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, He went all the way. He didn't have to go.
Come on.
He went all the way.
Right.
He got His beard pulled out. For who? For you
yeah.
and moi. He got His beard pulled out, okay?
Yeah.
They crucified Him. They beat Him.
Yeah.
Okay? He did that. Oh, how about this? He's faithful.
Mm.
That's worthy of praise.
So
how about He's true?
Yes.
How about He's good? How about He's full of mercy? Jesus is the mercy seat, for heaven's sake. He's
Come
wonderful.
On.
He's worthy
yeah.
of praise. I praise You, Lord. Then you get personal. I
yeah.
praise You.
Yeah.
And you keep thinking, I praise You. 5 minutes, ding.
Right.
Now you're going to go towards worship.
Mm.
You've gone through the gate. You're into His courts. And now you're going to go into His presence. And you say, I love You, Lord. I don't even know how to say it. I don't know how to do this, but I love you. You first love me. Help me right now. Help me love you. Oh, beyond that, you're the God of all creation. I worship you. Yes. I worship, I love you, but I worship you.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, 5 minutes of worship. You know you're in your presence. There's a scripture that says, draw near to God, he'll draw to you. Submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee. Mm. And then you say, okay, God, forget myself. Now, I'm asking you, and I'm saying, Satan, the word says, I resist you as I submit to God and you flee. So get out of my mind, out of my thoughts. I'll not hear your voice. And now, Father, I ask you this question. Mm. And I usually save it for ones that are important.
Right.
And I say, I pop the question. And then I'm right. believing by faith. This right. is a faith thing. You right. think he's going to get on to you for faith in it?
Right.
Jesus is the one said, where's right. your faith, dudes? Where's your right. faith? Is there no faith? Am I going to find anybody with faith?
Is he going to give you a rock?
No, no. Ask, right? you, if you yeah. ask, yeah. he's going to give you the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I said, the question, and then you believe by faith he's going to speak from his spirit mm-hmm. to your spirit
right.
to your soul. Your
right.
soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Right. You ask the question, and I've learned it kind of yes or no.
Right.
Yes or no. And if I hear yes on that question, do I do this or do I do this, yeah. then I'm done.
Right.
Now, I know what I'm going to do, Lord.
His answers could terrify you. You could come out and go, yes. And that means yes, right?
Yeah, that means yes. That means yes. You
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Now, I've been telling this people, and I don't see a lot of other people quite picked up on it yet.
Right.
But this is what I do.
Right. It's
and
awesome.
He's never, ever been wrong.
Wow.
I say consult the Lord in mm-hmm. everything you do.
Right.
I'll be going along, and I say, do I pick up that hitchhiker?
Right.
And if I hear yes, my son, I pull over and pick him up.
Right.
Yeah. The one time he didn't, I didn't. Okay.
Right.
The guy got in the truck and said, I was there during the Civil War.
Right, right, right.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't ask. Okay.
Right, right, right.
I said, hey, I'm going to let you out over here, buddy.
Right.
I'm full of mercy. But
I'm only going this far.
Yeah, you're scaring me. Yeah. So anyway, the point yeah. of it is, mm-hmm. yes, hear the Lord.
Right.
Fear the Lord.
Right.
And then obey the Lord.
Man.
Okay, that's in the book.
That is good, man. You've got to get that. You got to get this book. It'll bless you. You got it. I've got a link right here to be able to get to it. You can get it from Amazon, get it from his website. You got the Kindle version of it as well, the
right.
paperback.
Okay, I want to say
well.
One thing. I'm
yeah.
going to interrupt. Excuse
go
me.
Ahead,
okay.
Go ahead.
Don't. I'm not trying to lift up the book. I'm not trying to look up John Newland. The name of it's Ordinary. I couldn't
right.
tie my shoes without him. The book is nothing but a story of my experiences with him.
Right, right.
Okay, yeah, it's all about him. Okay, let's put that for up front.
And you know me, I wouldn't recommend a book if it wasn't good.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed
yeah,
it. I mean, it's very, I mean, I couldn't put it down. I had to just nonstop read it. I was, when I first got the book, he didn't realize how fast I was moving. I'm like, what is this? Oh my goodness. It literally is, he calls it an ordinary man, but his life has been anything but ordinary. But yeah, he is it's amazing.
It's
you gotta
an
get
extraordinary
the
God.
Listen, this is not over. Make sure you join us on our next program. We're gonna continue to hear these amazing stories from this ordinary man, John Newland.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.